Welcome to America This Week. I'm Matt Taibbi.
And I'm Walter Kern.
Walter, it's good to see you.
Yeah, it's good to be here. I'm glad to be alive, frankly. Have you ever driven a Tesla?
I have not. No. Have you?
Okay. So here I am in Silicon Valley at the very heart of America's brain and in Palo Alto. I get to the San Francisco airport. Hertz has this system by which you just choose your own car, right? You go out and there are a bunch of cars parked in the lot that corresponds to your level of membership in Hertz, and you can take any one. And there are like four horrible hatchbacks that look like they've been run over rough roads and a brand new Tesla. Now, I've never driven a Tesla, but my eyes, you know, like sort of Bugs Bunny go ka-ching, you know, it's either a Mazda or a Tesla. So thinking that Tesla must be drivable by any guy who just wanders in to Hertz's garage, I get in it. And I get out of the garage and I realize something that you probably don't know and people who don't drive Teslas don't know. They don't really have mirrors, Matt. Did you know that?
No. Well, who needs that?
On either side of the car are these small rear view mirrors that are poorly adjusted. They're basically facing down in this case. And they're about the size of the bottom of a coffee cup. Also, the rear view mirror in the windshield is tiny and shows you the view through a quite tiny back window of the Tesla. How do I adjust the mirrors? As I wonder, as I am about to enter freeway traffic, I have no idea because the Tesla dashboard doesn't exist. It's just a giant tablet computer screen with all of these icons on it, none of which look like rearview mirror adjustments. Since they're so small anyway, I figure they won't help much. And if I can crouch down in my seat, I can sort of see into them at an angle that will show me the traffic behind me. I've given up completely on navigating the tablet, like hunting around trying to find out what the icons mean while I'm going 60. No, because by now I am going 60. It's then that I discover once I get into traffic that the way you navigate a Tesla is by watching a video of yourself with the cars that are actually around you represented as shapes. Did you understand that?
I understand the concept, but it's horrifying, but yeah, go ahead.
Dude, so you drive a Tesla by basically playing a video game that involves, you know, representations of cars rather than looking into your mirrors and seeing them. You can basically confirm that they're there with the mirrors, but you can't really get a flow going unless you just watch this computer and keep your car in its lane vis-a-vis the other computerized cars. And this is a difficult lesson to learn on a San Francisco freeway at 5:30 p.m. on a weekday.
That is horrifying, and perfectly expresses a whole lot of things. I mean, remember there was that moment when suddenly cars became impossible for an ordinary person to fix in any way, right? So they made things that didn't need to be electronic or computerized. Like, for instance, eliminating the window that you could actually roll down. I'm not sure that was an improvement, right? Like, it's more convenient, but you would like to have actually full control over that whole thing. The transmission, things like that, right? That was just more, okay, now you, whenever anything breaks, you got to bring it to the garage, and you're going to pay more because this is inaccessible to you. But what you're describing actually makes driving far more dangerous.
I may as well have been, for all practical purposes, in a sealed room, driving down a road, inferring from a screen what was around me, okay? And various graphics show how close you are to the other cars. Like sometimes a yellow line will appear that shows you're getting close and so on. But at one point, a guy on a motorcycle came weaving between traffic, going right down the middle of the freeway, and it showed up perfectly on the screen. But I went, I am now, my life now hangs on the functionality of this screen and its ability to, I don't know, pick up moving objects. And that's a strange feeling that you're no longer connected by your own senses, but by this extra step. Because, you know, the mirror isn't going to become unreliable suddenly, but my sense of computers is that they can get unreliable. And when they're representing other cars that might hit me at 70 miles an hour, I really hope they stay functional.
Just think of the contrast. When we were first taught to drive, even mirrors, we were told to check first visually, right? Like, okay, the mirrors are there, you can use them, but, you know, before you change lanes, you should actually look first.
Yes.
Right? And you should be, you know, feeling the road through the steering wheel, right? You should try to be as sensually in touch with the driving experience as possible, because your life is on the line every second. This is crazy.
Some other features are that the disconcerting features are that the steering wheel is about the size of a Frisbee. It's not... And I couldn't figure out how to pull it toward me, because even the adjustment that's mechanical adjustment that's usually under a steering wheel that allows it to telescope wasn't there that I could feel. It was somewhere on this cryptic screen, but I was already launched into orbit, trying to stay alive, look, you know, keeping my video game car between the other video game cars. When I finally got, luckily, all I had to do was go straight down a stretch of freeway, get off one exit and stay on the main street of Palo Alto. So there weren't many turns and so on. When I finally stopped the car, I was in a panic that I can't quite describe. I felt like I'd survived this unexpected, life threatening experience. And the last thing I wanted to do is sit there and learn the screen for next time I drive. I just wanted to get out of the car and get into bed and, you know, cry. So I still don't understand the car. In order to get back to the airport, I'm going to have to like sit down for 20 minutes and explore the, you know, the
get
interface.
Get in tune with it. Yeah.
Yeah. And see if one of those damn buttons can make the mirror, you know, tilt up enough that I can actually see cars out of it, even though it's the size of a coffee cup lid.
I just don't get that. You ever see the movie Vanishing Point?
No.
No? It's like one of the great road movies of all time. It's a hilarious movie about a guy who used to be a race car driver, and he gets a job to drive a car from Chicago to the West Coast. He gets a big bag of speed, jumps into a Dodge Challenger, which has like three parts in it, and just drives as fast as he can across the West, like breaking every law. And then finally he hits an extra dimensional wall at the end, and I won't spoil for you what happens, but basically it's this American dream of just hopping into a simple, too powerful machine and just driving way too fast and blowing it and violating every rule along the way. But that's exactly the opposite of a machine that's, you know, telling you a million things, and you know, you have to learn and obey, and I don't know,
and over which you have no power. What if
right?
That's... now I don't know enough. I didn't research the Tesla to know whether or not if I had gotten into some perilous situation because of its unfamiliarity, it would have saved me. Would it have taken over? Was there a point at which
is there hyperspace?
Well, or would it determine that my driving had become erratic and go into some auto mode or something? You know, I didn't want to test
like
that.
Autopilot and airplane.
I actually think it might. I'm not sure. But dude, there is. It is an absolutely smooth dashboard. smooth. And I mean, all it is this screen. I basically got in a car, and you didn't have much time to decide, because when you come out of the rental car, you're on this strange one-way service road. You know, you go over barriers, and then there you are at the freeway, and you realize this is going to be your Tesla learning experience.
Okay, well, that's horrifying. Well, I'm glad you're still alive. I'm glad you're happy to be alive. And we are remarkably chipper this morning when maybe we shouldn't be, because something really bad has just happened. It's something we've been talking about, and it just suddenly happened with no warning. It's a huge story, poorly understood, and it's the story that I think we even might have predicted this at some point last year. Basically, it's this: the bill to ban TikTok has passed in the House, but the scary part is that it's very likely to pass in the Senate, and then Joe Biden is going to sign it, and then it is going to become law, and everything that we've been talking about, you know, opposing censorship, will become moot, including perhaps next week's landmark Supreme Court case, you know, the Missouri v. Biden, which oral arguments start on Monday. Walter, when did you hear about this story?
Well, strangely, last night I heard about it from a young person whose identity I will keep secret because of some of the things he said to me, which I won't keep secret. Hey, can you believe they're going to ban TikTok? I've got all these friends who work at TikTok. They're terrified. But more than that, the young people of America love this thing, and it's going to be the pretext for perhaps banning any website or service that's deemed a threat. And this young person, who is not at all involved in these issues, Matt, not at all, has shown no awareness of them, suddenly was shocked and quite informed as to the implications and angry. And this is a Democrat I spoke to, you know, somebody who presumably would have voted for Biden. This upset them enough that they would reconsider that.
Wow, really?
Yes.
It's that bad?
Yes.
Okay.
See, I don't think that, you know, I don't like to consider, I'm not a boomer, I'm a Gen Xer. I defend that title against any accusations. But I gotta say, people in their 20s and 30s are on TikTok, and they love it. And I, when these bans started being talked about, investigated it somewhat, because I thought it was some sort of Chinese brainwashing scheme, and oh, they're getting all the data. You know, surprise, surprise.
So are we.
America's getting all the data from every other app, and I am sure we have a way of getting this data. But in any case, it's got a pretty tight algorithm that sort of feeds back to people what they're already interested in and so on. It's it was not, from what I saw, something that is shoving propaganda down people's throats. There are subtleties to how everything operates, and you can get yourself in a bubble and maybe be nudged, and that's how all of them work. But after looking at it, I said, this is less of the Frankenstein monster I thought it might have been. And from talking to people, including my own children who use it, I softened on the thing. It's fairly creative. It's heterodox, full of views and experiences and everything. It's not some kind of monologue from CCP. But in any case, I don't want to have to bend TikTok, the TikTok user experience or the TikTok algorithm, in order to be very concerned by this bill. I mean, as concerned as I've been about any bill for a long time, because this seems to be the opening for almost dictatorial information direction from the top.
So let's first talk about what's in the bill, and then we should talk about the kind of unique political situation that brought about this problem, right? Because the problem here is that this is a bipartisan effort, a massively bipartisan effort. The bill passed in the House 352-65. It is going to go to the Senate, where it almost assuredly will pass. And then it will go to Joe Biden, who will sign it, right? So we had a flirtation with a similar bill last year called the Restrict Act. And you and I talked about that bill at the time.
Yeah.
And there was, you know, kerfuffle and a brouhaha about it. Republicans balked. This thing was never going to pass in the House. And then something happened. Gaza happened, basically, right? And now the national security state has a way of arguing for speech controls that Republicans will support. And so now we have a bipartisan national security consensus that is going to pass this thing overwhelmingly. And let's be clear about what's in this bill, all right? Now, if you've read the reporting about the TikTok ban, you've probably been told that the company has been given a deadline by which it must divest itself, a certain percentage of its ownership. The bill itself is called, let's see, it's called the Protecting Americans from Foreign Adversary Controlled Applications Act. And I think it's 180 days is the deadline by which they have to divest. And it's being pitched as, you know, we have a problem with a foreign adversary nation collecting, personal information about our citizens, which, by the way, does suck. It is horrible, right? It is a problem. However, most people have not read the entire bill and they don't understand the implications of it. And so we should show people an example of what's in this thing. This is down, entry number 3 in the bill. Foreign adversary controlled application. Here's where they define what a company that may be regulated under this bill is. The term foreign adversary control applications means a website, desktop application, mobile application, or augmented or immersive technology application that is operated directly or indirectly, including through a parent company, subsidiary, or website by any of, right? So now it lists the specific villains that have been pitched in the media: ByteDance, TikTok, a subsidiary or a successor to an entity identified in clause 1 or 2, blah, blah, blah. But then there's the second part. All right. So the foreign adversary controlled application is a website, app, or immersive technology application that is either owned by TikTok or a covered company that, one, is controlled by a foreign adversary, and two, that is determined by the president to present a significant threat to the national security of the United States following the issuance of a public notice. In other words, they have a
TikTok or anything we want.
TikTok or anything we want, right? And the designation is controlled by the president. So basically, the president is going to be able to strike or kill any platform, app, or website that is deemed a national security threat, right? Now, when you get into the weeds of this thing, you will find that they, as always, they have loosely defined what it means to be controlled by a foreign adversary, right? And so this thing
is controlled doesn't mean owned.
Right, exactly. And I've seen it described as also influenced by. Now the text says controlled. There was a Montana bill that was very similar that was overturned, but used language that was even fuzzier, but was interpreted in an even fuzzier way for the brief moment that it was law, right? But Walter, this is the ultimate nightmare situation. We lived through this whole thing where, you know, for years, culminating in the Twitter files, where there was this huge national controversy about censorship, and my God, like, at least the Republicans are balking on this. But then came the Israel conflict, and apparently one of the moments where things crossed the Rubicon was when the Bin Laden fatwa went viral. And the Washington Post did a big story about this. It was,
when people was that?
I'm not exactly sure. The Post story was in November. Well, we should show this because this is an example of what people
this
are
is one of their pretexts for this.
Yeah, this is one of their pretexts. So here's an American on TikTok who is discovering Bin Laden's fatwa.
This morning I read Letter to America, which is Osama bin Laden's letter to America explaining why he attacked Americans. And I am ashamed to say that I not only have never read this letter, but I didn't even know this letter existed. It's wild, and everyone should read it. If you haven't read it yet, read it. However, be forewarned that this has left me very disillusioned, and I feel the same exact way I felt when I was deconstructing Christianity. I feel a little bit just confused, like I have entered into another timeline. What is this?
But the government didn't intervene when you were deconstructing Christianity. You were allowed to do that. The New York Times published the Unabomber Manifesto, as I remember. You were allowed to read that. I could go and get Mein Kampf off the shelf at a bookstore. But for some reason, we have to seize control of the internet because a letter from a dead terrorist who's been dead for 12 years somehow got to TikTokers, and people like her, whoever the hell she is, pretended to find it interesting.
Hang on a second. I got to show more because they're so concerned about this.
That probably produced videos of fake kids loving the letter just to create this reel. Sorry.
Yeah. Here, let's go back here.
So I just read A Letter to America, and I will never look at life the same. I will never look at this country the same. I will never.
Oh, baloney.
Please,
dude,
read it. And if you have read it, let me know if you are also going through an existential crisis in this very moment, because in the last 20 minutes, my entire viewpoint on the entire life I have believed,
I question the authenticity of these videos.
Of course,
has changed. Please read that entire letter.
Whoa.
I need everyone to stop what they're doing right now and go read. It's literally two pages. Go read A Letter to America. And please come back here and just let me know what you think, because I feel like I'm going through like an existential crisis right now, and a lot of people are. So I just need someone else to be feeling.
It's the same script.
Okay, dude, she used the same term.
I know. Here we go.
I need you to stop what you're doing and go read A Letter to America. It is literally the craziest thing I've read in a while. And while I can't say that I'm that surprised, I am pretty shocked. So go read it and tell me what you think, because I really also need to talk to other people about this. And actually, before you even read the letter, I did want to mention, in reading the letter, I could only think of this tweet that I saw the other day. Under settler colonialism, any kind of resistance is branded as terrorist because the only acceptable violence is violence by the occupier.
So this is fucking insane. I just read Osama bin Laden's letter to America, which I will be going through right here, but it's actually so mind-fucking to me that terrorism has been sold as this idea to the American people and honestly just so many Western inhabitants within certain nations that this group of people, this random group of people just suddenly wakes up one day and just fucking hates you, just wants you dead, wants you gone, and this is all because they believe that they're better than, like, that is the root of terrorism. It doesn't make sense. They just hate your fucking nation. But reading this letter, it becomes apparent to me that the actions of 9/11.
So you get the
idea,
right?
Did she have an existential crisis too? She forgot that line. She didn't read the script properly.
She forgot the existential crisis. I'm sorry. Walter, you've read the fatwa, right? You've read Letter to America?
Yes. And it wasn't, these people are talking like it's Sergeant Pepper's, like it's right? they just released the White Album, or, you know, heard Hendrix play for the first time.
My God, that solo was amazing.
Yeah. Can you believe terrorism's actually kind of justified? Wow. I'm having a crisis because even though I'm like 18 and don't remember 9/11 and wasn't even alive for it, and barely know how to spell bin Laden, whoever he was, who died when I was 10, I always had these negative impressions of him.
But now I have an existential crisis. My mind has been blown.
Wow.
The whole thing was justified.
Wow. Let's show this video to Congress and show that one by one, falling like bowling pins, American young people, due to TikTok, which didn't write the bin Laden letter, by the way.
Right.
But it happened to spread, propagate there. So it's like food poisoning. Let's close the restaurant because the hamburger was bad. Wow.
No, come on. I mean, if you're in the CIA and you wanted to turn a bunch of Republican Congress members
who are dorks
to your side for an online censorship program, what would be better than a video with a bunch of, you know,
influencer kids? They look
with shit in their face saying, dude, bin Laden's awesome.
Have you ever seen videos of those sort of like real world, like communal houses in Los Angeles where influencers live? They all have a room. They rent a big house. They have a pool. And then every day they toil in their bedroom, you know, making Instagrams and stuff. And then they go hang out by the pool. It's like somebody went to one of those houses and said, hey, kids, come down here. Listen. We've got a job today. We got $10,000 for the house, and everybody's got to have an existential crisis after reading, it's pronounced fatwa, the bin Laden fatwa. So go act like it's the coolest thing you've ever done. Make sure to use these couple of buzzwords and send me the videos afterwards. If those are authentic, I'll be shocked. But furthermore, what a cynical thing. I mean, those could have been produced by AI for all we know. They could have been text to video. I'm not saying they are, but this is the basis on which the president's going to take control of the internet.
Right, right. If it is real, if those people are real, and if there's
stupid,
a lot of them, yeah.
Then stupid people are driving us into a dark age.
Yeah, exactly. Then I'm going to be pissed for the other reason, right?
Right.
That idiots have, you know, basically created a political opportunity for this incredibly repressive law that we just did not see coming to be passed. And you know, it's been kind of amazing to watch the response to this. You know, the speeches have been, you know, on both sides, incredibly enthusiastic. Maybe we should listen to just a little bit of Nancy Pelosi to give you a flavor of how, you know, how
fake
bipartisan
it is.
Yeah, exactly. So just to be clear, you know, Mike Johnson, the speaker, you know, has is suddenly coming out saying that, you know, we're going to apply every amount of pressure on the Senate to approve this bill. You know, Schumer is being coy about that, but, you know, Johnson is acting like, you know, he's got absolute, you know, he's absolutely hot to have this bill passed. So this is, but here's a Democrat, you know, a Democratic leader on the Hill, Nancy Pelosi, and here's what she said in her speech.